Our Lord Jesus Christ is about to go to His crucifixion. And the Holy Spirit has had this recorded for us, for our learning. These are the words of Christ spoken. Now, He prayed many times, but these are the ones that the Holy Spirit saw fit to have recorded. And what words they are. What words they are. My, our Lord is coming close to His crucifixion. It's soon coming, the whole reason that He came to this earth, to save His people from their sins by the shedding of His precious blood, to redeem those who were given to Him by the Father, to redeem them from under the law. To redeem them from under the law. To give His life a ransom for His people. And He'll soon go to the cross, but He's going to rise again, beloved. He's going to rise again 3 days. And then He's going to ascend up into heaven. And then He's going to appear to His disciples too. And then He's going to ascend up to heaven. Oh my. And we see Him here praying for those He's leaving behind in this world. Those He's leaving behind, His apostles and other followers, but more so in this portion, His apostles. He's soon going to go to glory again, beloved. Remember, He came down from glory. He's the only one who's come down from heaven. And He's soon to go and return back to heaven. Oh my. Back to the glory which He shared with the Holy Father and the Holy Spirit. They're going to be reunited, beloved. And He's coming back this time as the God-man. Henry Mahan said He's returning to heaven in a way that He was not before. He's the God-man. Came down as the Word of God. He's still the Word of God, but He's the Word of God incarnate. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. My! And He's going back to share that glory. That glory with the Father. That glory with the Holy Spirit that He's had from eternity. But He's praying for His people here. He's praying for the apostles. He's praying for those who can be left behind. He prays that the Father would keep them from the pollutions of this world, the evil of this world. And He prays that the Father will keep them from the evil one, Satan. He says, I kept them while I was in this world, and now I'm giving them back to You, Father. Keep them. Please keep them, Father. And He knows the Father will. Because those are the ones the Father gave Him in love. He loves them. We keep the ones we love, don't we? We die for the ones we love. My, and Christ died for the ones He loves, didn't He? The ones He's loved from eternity. He gave His life a ransom for them. Shed His precious blood to redeem them. Save them from their sins. And He prays that the Father will keep those who He leaves behind from the evils of this world. The evil one. Also Satan. He prays the Father, telling them again, He's kept them while they were in the world, and now He's praying that the Father would keep them while He's gone. He has given them back to the very one who gave them to Him. And we're going to see later on in this prayer, that includes you and I. That includes you and I, beloved, because when we hit verse 20, look, neither pray I for these alone, but them also which shall believe on Me through their word. They went out and preached the gospel. And the gospel went out and when they died, there was others the Lord raised up to preach the gospel, and others the Lord raised up all through the generations till now. And as long as the Lord tarries, He's going to raise up preachers. The exact amount that He wants. We might think, well, there's not many people preaching the gospel now. There's exactly the amount of people preaching the gospel as God's ordained. Rejoice, beloved. His sheep will hear His voice through the preaching of the gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone. He's going to make His lost sheep, no matter where they are, to cross the path of a gospel preacher, whether it be hearing them through the internet or actually hearing them in person. But the gospel preacher can't save anyone. It's the gospel he preaches that saves, isn't it? Faith cometh by hearing, and that comes from the Holy Spirit, and hearing by the Word of God, right? How shall they hear without a preacher? So God sends preachers. We don't know what the Lord's doing with the messages as they go out in the internet, do we? We know they're getting downloaded all over the world. And there may be one lost sheep down there. Let's say Cambodia. We've had all kinds of downloads from Cambodia. There might be somebody from Cambodia who downloaded the message and the Lord saved them just like that. Yeah. We'll never know. We'll never know until we get home to glory. And then we'll give all the glory to God anyways, won't we? Oh, it's wonderful, beloved. Oh, so God's raised this church up right here in Elmont, Michigan for the furtherance of the gospel, beloved. That's why we're here. My, let's read, with that on our mind now, let's read verses 11 to 17 of John chapter 17. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. So he's talking about his apostles. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Look at that title right there. Ah, what a title for our great God. Holy Father. Oh, He's so holy. That's a title of our King right there. And we know that our Savior, He's a holy God, isn't He? He's a holy God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's holy. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. So the one there, when we studied that verse 12, we found out that the son of perdition was Judas Iscariot. He was never chosen of God. He was never one of the elect. Now, he was chosen as one of the 12, but he was never one of God's elect. Never. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. Note that. He's saying, I'm speaking these things while I'm in this world. Our Lord was in this world, beloved. He was in this world. Josephus, a Jewish historian, even mentions Him. He was a real person. Some folks say, He was not real. Yeah, He was. Yes, He was. And He really was in this world. He was in the world that He created. And, oh, I got to tell you this. I was listening to a message by Tim James this week. And I got to repeat this. I have to repeat this. He said, there's more effort in Me picking up this piece of paper than it took God to create the world in the universe by the word of His power. There's more effort for Me to pick this paper up than for Him to just create all the universes and all the world. Isn't that amazing? How powerful is our God, beloved? How majestic is our God? That's the one who saved us. My, why do I ever fear? That's the one who has Me in His hands. That's the one who says that no man can pluck Me out of His hands. Oh, Lord, let that be real to me. Let me live in the realization of that. Each and every day. Lord, help my unbelief. When I heard that, I was just, I said, there's another moment where Tim gives me, where I just got to stop and stop the recording for a while and just chew on that for a little while. Oh, it was so profound. I just thought, I wanted to share that with you because it was so wonderful. How powerful is our God? I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Here's our verse tonight. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 17 will be our verse tonight. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ asked the Holy Father. Remember who he's speaking to, right? He's speaking to the Holy Father. That those who will be left behind, the apostles in this case, and also applies to all the elect of all the ages, that we are sanctified in and through Christ alone. Scripture declares this of Christ, of our sanctification. Who are we sanctified in? Are we sanctified by anything we do? No. Can we make ourselves more holy even after the Lord saves us? We can't, can we? Because we're still sinners saved by the grace of God. So we can't make ourselves holy. But who are we holy in? And sanctified there just means in the Greek, we're going to look it over, it means to be holy. Who are we holy in? Christ. In Christ alone. Listen to these scriptures that bring that forth. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31. Then in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, for in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. We're complete in him. We're sanctified in Christ. Now this sanctification through the word is growth in grace, beloved. How do we grow in grace? Through the Word of God. Through the Holy Spirit teaching us. And this Word here is truth, isn't it? And who else is truth? Who's called the truth? Christ and Him alone. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, we're sanctified in Christ. We're sanctified. That's where we're made holy, in Him. And then we grow in grace through the Word of God. But it's not us growing ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit growing us. Yeah, remember the fruit is called the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of Wayne, or, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my doing. See, when I was in religion, I used to think it was my doing. That I could make myself more holy. I can't make myself holy. I'm a sinner. But now God can conform me to the image of the Son. And I grow in grace, but praise be to God, I am sanctified in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at that in the next 2 weeks how we are sanctified in Christ when we look at verse 19. And it says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We'll look at that more in 2 weeks of how we are totally sanctified in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there's a need for us for spiritual growth, isn't there? Just as a child grows, nourished, right? And then they grow. They grow. We need to be nourished. We need to feast. This is sheep food. Right here. Desire the sincere milk of the word, right? Desire everything about the Word. There might be things that we come to as we're reading, we say, I don't understand that. Let us never say, I don't believe that. But let us say, I don't understand that. And pray that, well, maybe next time I read it, pray the Holy Spirit will teach you. And I'll tell you what, though. The minute the Holy Spirit wants you to know what that's about, guess what's going to happen? He's going to light it up. He's going to light it up, beloved. And it'll be just what you need at that time. Even the preacher might say something through the scriptures. And I don't even know. I'm preaching the gospel. And something might just hit you and just bless you. That's the Holy Spirit revealing that to you. That's not me. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. It's just, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now there's a need for spiritual growth and development in love. We as believers, we need to grow and we need to develop in love. And that love, again, is the fruit of the Spirit. So it's Him working it in us. That's, again, one thing that the Satan can't counterfeit is the love that the brethren have for one another, that love in Christ. And as believers, we're first born, we're babes. Then we become young men or women, and later fathers or mothers in Christ, right? We grow in grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us always, now this is key. Brother Gary Shepherd and I have talked about this. Let us always desire to have a teachable spirit. You know, that's what we preachers desire, that we would have teachable spirits and that those we preach to would have teachable spirits. Because when a person thinks that they've hit the point where they can't learn anything from a preacher or learn anything from the scriptures, they are in a world of trouble. I've told you this before. There's not one preacher I've listened to, whether it be a young green preacher just starting out who the Lord called, or an older preacher there's not one preacher in between even who I've not been blessed by when I listen to the message. I always get something. I always get something. I always walk away going, oh my, well, because it's the gospel, right? If that man's preaching the gospel, I always come away with something. And if I don't, then the problem's with me, not with the preacher. And that's when I need to examine myself and go, my goodness, Lord, please teach me through your word. Please continue to teach me. I desire to grow. I even desire the sincere mouth of the word, beloved. What I know is just scratching the surface. What does old Scott Richardson said? He's been preaching for 40 years. He says, one of these days I'm going to learn how to preach. Amen, Brother Scott. Oh my goodness. Lord, so good. So the sanctifying work is done by God the Holy Spirit. He's the one who sanctifies us. We're born again of the Holy Spirit. We're set apart, right? We're set apart by God. We're born again. And Scripture says, wherefore laying aside, and then when we're born again, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. See, just as a baby drinks milk and they grow, don't they? And then they get off baby food. Right? And then they're eating solids. You remember when we started eating solids? And our kids started eating solids. They start eating solids. And then they get to a point as a teenager where they don't want anything that's good for them. Right? My son was like that. I love my boy, but he didn't like vegetables back then. Now he eats everything pretty much. He's doing amazing. But there was a time when he lived on chicken nuggets. That's what he loved. He ate those things all the time. You know? And not from McDonald's. We bought them from the store too for him. So, but but as believers, we go through these stages too, don't we? We desire, and then we desire, the more we mature in the word, we desire the meat of the word. But never forget, there's nothing like a good glass of milk. Right? I know Dave don't like milk. But there's nothing like cold cup. Nothing like a cold cup of water, right? There you go. Yeah. So desire that, right? We're to desire those things. My oh my. And then it says if it be so that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When we tasted that the Lord is gracious, we just want to feast on the word, don't we? Just tell me about Christ. And tell me about the one who's been gracious to me. And I'll tell you what, I'm feasting then. And that comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. But yeah, he came to die. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 119. Now, his word is infallible truth, right? This word of God is infallible truth. I told my son one time, I said, this is the only thing that's true in this world. People lie, but this word is truth. It's truth. It's the true author is God the Holy Spirit. If this book says that killing a baby is murder, then it's murder. Right? There's no way around that, is there? If this book tells you that when you kill a pregnant lady and that means you killed two people, then that's truth, isn't it? And that's what this book says. It says, thou shalt not kill, right? My, oh my. It doesn't matter what we think personally. This is what the Word of God says. And as believers, we bow our knee to that, don't we? We have to. We have to. So it says here, in Psalm 119, again, this word is infallible truth, and our spiritual growth depends, think of this too, our spiritual growth doesn't depend on feelings, does it? Not on feelings, not on visions or dreams that people have. No. But on the ever-increasing love for and the understanding of and the embracing of this word. Of what is clearly brought forth in the scriptures here. In the Word of God. And here, Psalm 119. Look at this passage here. First, we'll read verses 9 to 16. We're going to go three different places in this psalm. Verse 9 of Psalm 119. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto thy word. How do we keep from evil? By clinging to this word. By taking heed to what this word says. Right? My, oh my. With my whole heart have I sought thee. That's the believer does that, don't we? Now I know some people who are nitpickers and stuff will say, well, we don't follow the Lord with our whole heart. No, we do with our new heart. We desire to. It's just the flesh is weak, isn't it? But inside, we desire to follow God with our whole heart. We love Him now when we never loved Him before. And we only seek Him because it says, I sought thee, only because He made us willing in the day of His power. And then He says, Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. How easy we can walk away from the Word. How easy we can do that. But this word is a light unto our path, beloved. It tells us about Christ our King. It tells us about who God really is. An absolute sovereign. It tells us of a wonderful, merciful Savior who left glory to come to this sin-cursed world to redeem sinners like me. Sinners like us. All because He loved us more. Think of this. He loves us more than anybody in this whole world has ever loved us. Now, I think about my mom's love. Oh, my, that's vast. I think about my bride, how much she loves me. My kids love me. But it doesn't come even close to how much God loves me. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely incredible. We can't really fathom that, can we, for our little finite minds? It's hard for us to imagine someone loving me with an unending love, an eternal love. But it's true, beloved, because the Scriptures tells us that His love is an everlasting love. And that's for His people. And then look what he says here. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. My. Blessed art thou, O Jehovah, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all riches. Think of this. Think of how much we rejoice in the salvation we have in Christ. More than any wealth in this world. the richest man, the stuff that a richest man has, the money, fame, popularity, doesn't even compare to what we have, beloved, in Christ. And David, this is David who would be king saying this. Probably at this time he was king. And he says, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. You know what that means? Keep your mind on Christ. That's where I need to keep my mind, is on Christ. You know, I flipped open the news thing today and I had it on for 5 minutes while I was eating my soup at lunch, and I had to shut it off. I was done. Because I'm right in the middle of my message. I got half my message done and I'm waiting to do the other half after lunch. I thought, well, I'll just listen to the news and see. I had to shut it off, beloved. I had to. It was like, here we go again. Same stuff, different day. Doesn't change. And I wanted to meditate on the things of the Lord, not on what's going on in the world. Because that's going to get me upset. So I exercised the right to shut the channel off on my computer. Oh my. And then it says, have respect unto thy ways. Now we have respect unto the ways of the Lord, don't we? We desire to walk in his precepts. We desire to walk and to live a holy life, don't we? When we never did before. Now we desire that. We desire to have him uplifted in our lives. He's the great God and King. And then look at this. So meditation too. Remember, we can meditate any time on things. It's not doing the whole thing it's just thinking upon the things of God. You can memorize a scripture and just roll that scripture around in your mind and meditate on it for the whole day. It's absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful to do. And then he says here, for I will delight in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Oh Lord, teach us. Teach me that, not to forget thy word, to delight in thy ways. Now turn, if you would, to the same psalm, verses 33 to 34. Psalm 119, verses 33 to 34. Just two verses in this portion. See, this is how we grow, beloved. This is how we grow in grace. Is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit taking these words and teaching us. It says here, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, that I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Do you desire this word? Hey, amen, we do, don't we? And when we meditate and think upon it, and look for Christ in the Old Testament, it takes our minds off all the things in this world. They just fly away. They're gone. And then verses 65 to 72 of this psalm. Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72. Look at this. Has the Lord dealt well with us? Oh, amen, eh? Oh, amen. He dealt so well with us. Look what David says here. This is wonderful. Verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. And that's all we are. We're just servants of the Lord. Oh, Lord, according to thy word. And he tells us in his word that he's going to take care of his people, doesn't he? We're now sons of God, beloved. He's going to take care of every one of us. Every one of us. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. I don't want to learn bad knowledge. I've already learned enough of that in my life. Right? I don't want to learn any more of that. Lord, teach me good judgment. Teach me how to make good choices. Teach me how to... You know, people say, well, don't judge. Judge lest you be judged, right? That's a famous line of religious hypocrites. Because they don't want you to question about what they believe. Do you know we make judgments every day in our lives? We make decisions every day in our lives. Did you decide what clothes you wanted to wear today? What shoes you want to put on? What you want to eat for breakfast? What you want to do during the day? We make judgments all day long, beloved. My. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I believe thy commandments. And that means I believe his word right here. I believe his word. Do you believe his word? Oh, by the grace of God, I believe. I believe by the grace of God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. We have all in our walk wandered at one time or another. But we've never wandered away from the grace of God. Because we can't. He's always got us. He may let us wander a little bit, but he's going to bring his people back. He's going to bring his people back. Thou art good. Look at that. What a statement. What a statement. God is good, beloved. In all seasons, at all times, no matter what occurs in our lives, God is good. And doest good. Everything he does is good. Everything. He is not the cause of evil, beloved. That's us sinful man. My, oh my. He always doest good, and he is good. Teach me thy statutes. In other words, teach me thy ways, Lord. Teach me thy ways. That's what we desire, isn't it? We desire to grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts within my whole heart. No matter what others say, I'm going to keep your word in my heart, Lord. In my heart. They forged a lie against me. They've conjured up this lie. But Lord, I'm going to look to you, Lord. I'm going to cling to you. I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. My, that's how we were in our sin. Isn't that amazing? That's gross, isn't it? Yeah. Fat as grease. Oh, my. My mom sometimes used to collect bacon grease. My, oh, my. You accidentally put your finger in that while you were putting the dish away? Oh, it was awful. It was awful. Their heart is as fat as grease. Wickedness. But I delight in thy law. I delight. Isn't it amazing? We once were like that. Our hearts, at one time, our natural hearts were as fat as grease. And then the Lord gives us a new heart. And now we're like, oh Lord, I delight in your word. I delight in what you say here. That I'm a sinner. Oh, but I'm saved by grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, my Lord. My, what a change God's wrought in us. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Only a believer will say that. Because we know that all things work, right, for God's glory and for our good. That I might learn thy statutes. It's in times of grief, I believe, that we become closer to Christ. In times of sorrow, in times of affliction. The law of thy mouth is better than thousands of gold and silver. God's word is more precious to the believer than heaps of gold and heaps of silver. For what shall it profit a man if he gain his gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. All the gold won't buy salvation in this world. All the silver, all the precious minerals in this world will not buy salvation. It's all God's. He already owns it all. Folks say, well, I got all this gold. Well, it's God's gold. It's not yours. You've got temporarily hold of it, but it's God's gold. He gave it to you, but it's ultimately His. He don't need nothing from us, does He? Nothing at all. So we see how clearly then the Word of God is the source of true holiness of life. It teaches us the statutes of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. It guides us in our life. It points us. And you know what it does? It points us to look to Christ. That's what it does. All those sections we read, he's looking to the Lord. He's looking to His Word. He's looking to Him. He's saying, God, You're so good. You're always good. Who's taught Him that? The same one that's taught us that. God the Holy Spirit. Right? He's taught us that too. Oh, it's wonderful. Turn up with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 22 to 25 here. And we'll see that the Word of God is also the seed in regeneration. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, note, through the Spirit, not through our flesh, not through anything we've done, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, the new heart does that. The new heart from God does that. Loves the brethren. Being born again, look at this, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, this Word abides forever, beloved. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will abide, beloved. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You see, we got flowers now that come hearing and hearing by what? The Word of God. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Marvelous, isn't it? Marvel, beloved of God, what we see here. We who be born again by the Holy Spirit of God, by the incorruptible seed, it says here, which is the Word of God, we now belong to the same family. You know, Davey said, you didn't know you're going to get a little brother at 60, right? Well, now you have one. We have the same Father. We have the same Father. We have the same Savior. We have the same... It's incredible. We're born again by the same Spirit. In all of us. We're family. It's incredible. And as he says here, then we ought to love the brethren, right? We ought to. And this glorious birth is not a natural seed like we see here. It's not of man, which only serves to corrupt us. We come into this world because of our fathers and our mothers, because they're sinners. We come into this world sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. But this Word here, this Word is incorruptible. This seed is incorruptible. And it's by the Word of God. It's by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So our first conception, our natural birth, leads only back to the dust. Right? But our second birth, being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, leads to life eternal. First birth leads to the dust. Second birth leads to life eternal. And that second birth is by the Holy Spirit of God. It's wonderful. And that's in Christ and Christ alone. We know eternal life is only in and through Christ. It is by the Holy Spirit, or it is by the Holy Father, that we believe. For faith is the gift of God. It is by Christ alone that we can approach God. It is by Christ alone, who is the Beloved One, that we are accepted in Him. It is by the Holy Spirit by revelation from Him that we can know God. See, therefore, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in our salvation, beloved. All of them. Therefore, we conclude what? Salvation is of the Lord. It's all Him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They get all the glory. And our Lord Jesus Christ is our only representative with the Holy Father. There's no other mediator with the Holy Father. No other man can be a mediator because they're sinners. I can't be a mediator for anybody because I'm a sinner. I need a mediator, do you? And that's Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's my mediator. And it's wonderful. He's my advocate. He intercedes with the Father for me. And if you're a believer, for you. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And He's already won the battle. He's already won the battle. The victory is in Christ. Victory in Jesus, right? We sing that song. Victory in Jesus. It's in Him. Not anything we do. My, oh my. And we're already seated in the heavenlies with Him. That's what the Scriptures declare. So let's read our verse again. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now the underlying Greek word for sanctify there is defined in the Greek as to make holy, to sanctify, to make clean, to render pure ceremonially, to consecrate, to be holy, to sanctify. What are we set apart for here while we're on this earth? For service to the Lord, right? That's what we're here for. We exist at this church as a gathered group of believers for the furtherance of the gospel. We serve Him just by coming, just by sitting, just by listening, by giving. We're serving our King, aren't we? It's wonderful. Is this service burdensome? Not at all, is it? No. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Oh, if others only knew. May God reveal these wonderful truths to them. That serving Christ is not a burden. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. So we're set apart. And you know we're set apart for service to Christ. You know how? All by the divine purpose of God. You mean I'm part of God's divine purpose? Yeah, and so are you. If you're a believer, isn't that amazing? God has purposed us to be here so the gospel can go out from Elmont, Michigan. God purposed David to go down and preach in Ecuador to be a missionary. He's part of the purpose of God in Ecuador. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just amazing. Now, under Jewish law, the tribe of Levi was ordained to the service of the Lord. Out of all the tribes, Levi was ordained to the service of the Lord instead of the firstborn. And then out of the tribe of Levi, only one family, Aaron and the sons, were sanctified to be for the priesthood. And then there was a certain tent that was sanctified to the service of God, and hence it became a sanctuary. And the vessels that were in that tent, the fire, the bread, the oil, the animals, were all sanctified. And none of these things could be used for any other purpose. Isn't that amazing? It couldn't be used for any other purpose. Our purpose here, beloved, is to serve our King. And we do it with gladness. It's not a burden. It's wonderful. And we marvel that He's allowed us to be His servants, don't we? That He chose us to be His servants. It's absolutely incredible. So none of those things could be used for any other purpose than the service of Jehovah. And beloved God, we are not of the world. We're not the world's. we're not the world. Yeah. You know why we're not the world? Else we might be ambitious. We're not Satan's, else we might be covetous. We are not our own, else we might be selfish. No, beloved, we're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're the Lord's. We're His. We're His by creation. And we're His by purchase. And we're set apart by Him. We're His workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works, which He has ordained. Why haven't we went to heaven yet? Because He's not done with us here. He's not done with us here. My. And those who belong to those who belong to the Lord, to God, are separated from others. We're separated from others. We're dedicated to Him. Separated from the rest of mankind. And we're showing this by Abraham. He was taken out of the land of Ur, wasn't he? Separated from his people. He was made separate. Lord brought him out of the land of Ur. And then think of Israel. They were separated from Egypt. They were bought out of Egypt, weren't they? Which is a picture of the world. They were bought out of Egypt into the promised land. But they had to go through that wilderness, didn't they? This earth is a wilderness, beloved. On our way to Canaan. Oh my. You know, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And the Lord said, "This people have I formed for myself." Let that sink in. I was talking to some folks last night, telling them a little bit about my past, and they said, "Man, you were a hellion." And I said, "Yeah, I wasn't good. But then I see a verse like that. I see something like that, and I marvel at God's grace. This people have I formed for myself. We were formed by God for Himself, beloved. That'll keep your boat floating for a long time, won't it? I'll tell you what. That's incredible. And before long, this secret purpose is followed by the open call, "Come out from among them and be separate." And we run to Christ, don't we? The Church of Christ is a chaste virgin. It's a chaste virgin, beloved. Wholly set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His own words concerning His people, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of the world." We see that. Look at verse 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." We've been set apart, beloved. Set apart by God. And those who are sanctified in this sense have ceased to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They have ceased to run with the multitude to do evil. They are not conformed to this present world. They are constrained and restrained by God the Holy Spirit. And the word means sanctify. This word means sanctify, setting apart, made holy. And this can only be in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way a rotten sinner like me can be made holy is in Christ. I can't make myself holy. We can't make anyone else holy, can we? But Christ can make us holy. And He has for His people. He made us holy. How does our righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees? Remember the Lord said, except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees? How does that happen? In Christ. In Christ it does. In Him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We look at that and go, oh Lord, my righteousness is like filthy rags in your eyes. But in Christ. In Christ. Oh my righteousness. Because it's His righteousness. It's an alien righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. And we are clothed in that perfect, spotless righteousness, beloved. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. My, oh my, it's imputed to us. You know, the father, oh, I love that story about the prodigal son. He runs into that prodigal son. He says, bring forth the best robe! The best! You know, we're clothed in the best robe? The righteousness of Christ. And God the Father put that on us, beloved. He put that on. We didn't put the coat on ourselves. We're like the prodigal. We're covered in pig slosh. And He put that rag over, that coat over us, the best robe. And look at that. No one sees all that slime and stuff anymore, do they? They see the righteousness of Christ. You know when He wove that coat? When He lived on this earth. In total obedience to the Lord. And if there's a stitch of our righteousness in that coat, then it's not the righteousness of Christ. But there's not a stitch of our righteousness in it. It's all the righteousness of Christ. It's all Him, beloved. It's absolutely wonderful. And now we live a life desiring to live and grow, to live for Christ and to grow in the knowledge and truth of Him. To desire the Word of God. To desire to grow in this Word. Let's read the verse again. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, all by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And this prayer of our Lord is most necessary, for without holiness, right, which is to sanctify, no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, none of us would see the Lord. But we're made holy in Christ. And without holiness, we're unfit for service for the Lord, aren't we? But the Scripture said He's made us meet, which is fit for heaven. He's made us fit for service. Because when the God the Father sees us, He sees us in Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. And without holiness, we cannot enjoy the sweetness of our faith. The sweetness of our Savior. Just relish that this week. Relish the sweetness of Christ. How He gave His life for us. How He shed His blood for us. How He bought us with a price. And how we're clothed in that perfect, spotless righteousness. That's so sweet. I've never had honeycomb, but I'll tell you, I've had some pretty sweet things in this world, eating-wise, and they're nothing compares to the sweetness of Christ. He's so sweet. You get encumbered with them bags. Well, we're running the race. I was telling Marcus about that. His son's a runner. Dave came out with an illustration a couple of weeks ago. Now, think about this. When you're running a race, right, all you got on is your shorts, a light shirt, and shoes, right? And you're running that race, and you're not encumbered by anything, right? But say somebody comes along and says, well, you got to run with this bag of rocks. And they put a 50-pound bag of rock on you. And you start running with those rocks. And, oh, my goodness. And the other runners, they're just blazing right by you, aren't they? Right? Well, see, some people put the rocks of religion on you. Bags of religion. Oh, they just weigh the runner down. He's just running with this bag of religious rocks all around on top of him. Right? The bag of rocks of do's and don'ts. Oh, put that on. Oh, my gosh. Right? The bag of you must obey the law of God along with faith in Christ. Oh, my gosh. I'm just weighed down to nothing now. But when all them bags are taken off and shed off, what happens? you need to start running again. And we're running a race, beloved. Right? Let us not be encumbered by those rocks of various things going on in this world either. Let us just keep our eyes on Christ and just run. Run. Knowing He gives us the grace and strength to run, doesn't He? It's Him. It's all Him. He's already cleared the way. Do you know that the roads to the cities of refuge were already cleared by the priests? Our great high priest, He cleared the way, hadn't He? We're just going through Canaan land. And I don't need no bags of rocks when I'm going through Canaan land, do you? Or through the wilderness. No way. I want to be unencumbered. I want to just look to Christ. I want to feast on the manner of His Word. Right? Oh my. Yeah, no rocks. Don't give me no rocks. My. I got enough of my own bags of rocks. Right? We have our own bags of rocks too, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. But we have Christ the rock. He's our guide. He's our guide, beloved. Oh my. Oh, it's so wonderful. What a great God we have. So we see here too, who's Christ speaking to? The Holy Father. The Holy Father. Remember that. Our God, He's the Holy Father. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father. That's who He's speaking to. Holy Father. My. My, oh my. Let's read our verse again. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now we're sanctified through truth. The Word of God, who's the Lord Jesus Christ, we're sanctified in Him. And He's truth incarnate. He's truth incarnate. He's the Word of God. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And also the written Word. This is the Word of God too, isn't it? And we read the Word of God. We grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The written Word of God, whose true writer is God the Holy Spirit. The very one who illuminates the Scriptures for us is the very one who's the true author of the Scriptures. And His Spirit, we're going to see in our study in Galatians when we get to chapter 4, His Spirit is sent into those whom the Father chose in eternity, and those who Christ redeemed at the cross, and now we cry, Abba, Father. He's our Holy Father. Now, in this, again, wonderful verse here, our Lord is praying to Holy Father, Jehovah. And I like what Robert Hawker said. He believes that this portion here is, when Christ says to sanctify them, he believes that for them to be, because we know it's setting them apart, he believes it was to be set apart for their ministry and that God would empower them for the ministry, give them the grace that they needed, give them the understanding of the Scriptures that they needed to preach and proclaim the gospel. Because the only way a preacher grows, the only way any saint grows, is by the Holy Spirit giving us an understanding, right? Otherwise, we don't know nothing. Everything we know about the Scriptures come from God. We can't brag on it. But he believed that the Lord was praying for them here for their personal ministry. And later in this chapter, as I said in verse 19, we're going to see we're sanctified in Christ. As for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We know He's the truth. And we know from Scripture that we're sanctified in Christ. So he believed that we should look at this verse as respect to their personal ministry and character, that they're being sanctified through the truth, the Word of God, that they're growing in grace. Because we grow in the grace and knowledge of truth. We're already made holy in Christ. We're already made holy in Him. We can't make ourselves more holy. We're holy in Him. And so this is talking about growing in grace, in the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. To give them more enlarged views of who Christ is. And that's what happens as we grow in grace, isn't it? We're like, Lord, I didn't even know that about You. And it leaves us even more in awe of how great He is. And all this occurs according to the great purposes of God in the everlasting covenant. and from being taught themselves in a more extensive manner when the Holy Ghost should come upon them in open display of His power, which He did, giving them an understanding of the Scriptures that they may proclaim Christ is the only Savior of sinners. And that's what they did. That's what they did, beloved. And the same holds equally true for us now. For we who are believers now, when we're born again by the Holy Spirit, the blessed and gracious covenant work of the Spirit is a complete act. We are sanctified in Christ. We're redeemed by Christ. We're justified in Christ. It's all done by Him. And it's complete once for all. We are complete in Christ. Can you add anything to complete? You can't, can you? You see how religion has twisted us all around? We're complete in Him. If I'm complete in Christ, then I can't add anything. And I'm glad, because I'd mess it all up. Oh, the Lord's so gracious, isn't He? He's just so gracious to us. My, oh my. We've been brought forth from the dead to the living. Spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. And it's all the work of God the Holy Spirit. He calls forth the one who's dead in trespasses, since He gives them life. He brings them into a life of righteousness which is in Christ. See, we were going about trying to establish our own righteousness before. Now we just rest in the righteousness of Christ. Rest. That's the key. What's the hardest thing for us to do? Just rest. Just to sit down in Christ and rest. Not to take, be still. Know that I am God, He says in the Scriptures. Yes. Just be still before our King. See something going on in the world? I'm going to be still. And I'm going to sit and wait for my Lord. And you know how He speaks to us? Not in dreams and visions, right? He speaks us through this word right here. See, if the Lord's spoken to you through the preaching of the word, that's God the Holy Spirit who's done that for you. And I praise Him. I give Him all the glory and honor and praise. If He's done that, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Because He's done the same for me when I'm studying. I was ready about 2:30 to call y'all and say, come on, we're going to have church early today. My, oh my, it's wonderful. And you know what the Scriptures teach us to act daily, how to act too, isn't it? It really does. It's a light unto our path. You know, it tells us what's good for us and what's not. Right? It really does. I like what Vicki said. We were out for lunch, and Vicki was saying about how sometimes we know that something's wrong, and the Holy Spirit's convicting us it's wrong, and we just go ahead and do it anyways. Guilty. We're all guilty, right? We're all guilty. That's the flesh. And that's the battle that we continuously have. But this word here will guide us and will direct us. And will keep us from that, beloved. Will keep us from that. Oh, may God be glorified through the preaching of His Word. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a merciful Savior we have. He's so good, isn't He? He's so good. Oh, my. I'll tell you why. I can't tell you. I can't even explain to you how good He's been to me. I tell you, He saved my soul. He is my only Savior. I'm a sinner to the core, but Christ saved me. And if He's done the same for you this week, rejoice, beloved. Rejoice. Not only do we get the fellowship in this world, but we're going to get the fellowship in glory forever and ever and ever. All because of what Christ has done for us. Brother